A controversial government program allows high-skilled foreign workers to temporarily work in the United States, often in industries such as engineering and IT. It's called the H-1B program, and it offers American companies the opportunity to hire the best and brightest from around the world, while giving foreigners the opportunity to experience life in America. Yet many of these foreigners are faced with challenges including mistreatment by employers, poor wages, and restriction from visiting their homelands. I'm Jordan Bodson, and Greg Gauman is here with me to investigate.
Edwidia Jane came to New Orleans on an H-1B visa in 2008, leaving his home in India behind. His wife soon followed on a contingent visa.
I'm on H-1, so my wife gets H-4, which is called a dependent visa on H-1.
But when his wife took their son back to India for a visit, the embassy said they couldn't come back. See, the H-1B allows visa holders to leave the country, but when they return, they need a stamp on their passport to legally re-enter.
There are two different things, visa and stamping. U.S. government gives visa, but the embassy doesn't give stamping. So they are making it hard to give the stamping in the passport. So if we don't have the stamping, we cannot enter into U.S. even if we have valid H-1B visa.
So, but as Edwidia went on to explain, getting a stamp on your passport can be a very difficult process.
So the worst part is the waiting time, because they don't have any timeline. Like, okay, you submit all the documents we needed, now give me a week or two or a month, I'll reply back. There's nothing like that. People wait for 6 months or even 1 year before they hear anything back from the embassy. Okay, your visa is denied, approved, or whatever. And if somebody is working in U.S., they went to India to visit their people, and if they cannot come back within like 2-3 months, then they lose the job.
Edwidia's wife eventually returned to America, but it was far from an easy process. His wife wasn't the only one in Edwidia's life who had issues with stamping.
One of my friends, he works in my own company, the cell site, and he just got married like 6 months back. He went to India, he had a valid visa, he went to India, he got married, he had all the paperwork for his wife.
As with Edwidia, his friend's wife was unable to receive a stamp on her passport.
So they are married for the last 6 months and she could not come to U.S. So he's single here, she's waiting there. So this is very depressing and awkward situation for both.
We also talked to Mohammed Edibad, an H-1B worker from Jordan, who had similar views about the stamping process.
You know, when you have a H-1B visa here, it doesn't mean it's just stamped in your passport. But when you go off road, you have to stamp it in your passport.
Mohammed worries about traveling home to Jordan, for fear he might get stuck there. If that happened, what would become of the life you built and all of his things back in America?
Who's going to go and sell your car, your furniture, this and that?
Stamping is not the only issue for H-1B holders. We spoke with David Gowdy, who works closely with H-1Bs at the Tulane Center for Global Education, and he has his own reservations about the program and its effects on wages.
I will say that I'm a little bit cynical about businesses' claims about H-1Bs because traditionally what happens is that even though they're not supposed to, foreign nationals are hired at lower levels than Americans would accept. And so they tend to depress wages in a particular field.
David says that companies are abusing the program by underpaying immigrant workers and depressing wages of Americans in the process. Businesses are required to pay H-1B migrants an appropriate wage, but David claims this process is full of loopholes, as the databases businesses use to determine these wages are far from accurate.
So they could say, yes, a PhD in IT in New Orleans is making $32,000 a year. And we have a database to prove it, and we're going to hire him at $32,000. And the federal government will say yes. Now, the reality, of course, is that's not true. But what it means then is that anyone who's in that position now is faced with the fact that that's now the new wage for that level. And so that's how it pushes wages down. On paper, it looks good. In practice, it stinks.
But not only does it stink for immigrants, Mohammed says it's harmful to Americans.
It's not safe for you guys. Because there's a lot of employers right now, they don't think about the nations of, they think about just a company that we need to get somebody who will do the job.
But David Gowdy feels that it's not the Americans, but rather the immigrants who suffer most from the system's flaws.
Medical researchers, PhDs in medical researchers, the levels of salaries are almost scandalously low. They're really low. And the argument I keep getting is that, well, it's better than they would get in their home country. And it is, but it's not still a, it's not even a middle class wage in this country. So, you know, we're taking the best and brightest and most educated from other countries, we're bringing them here, and we're not really giving them, you know, a shot at the golden ring.
Uh-huh.
We're exploiting them is what we're doing.
It's been 8 years for me over here already. I never bought a house, or I drive Honda Civic, which is a basic car here. I could not afford Benz or BMW. And, you know, we used to think when we were kids, oh, you know, we go to America and we buy houses or buy cars. But it was not very easy. It still is not easy. I think you have to work extra hard. And I think,
despite what Edwidia says, many immigrants consider life in America to be a vast improvement over life in their home countries. This was felt particularly by Muhammad, who saw life in America as incomparable to his home life in the Middle East.
Like, you know, the way of living, the salaries, if there are any jobs, education, all that, it's, I think the frontier is a lot better.
It's not just the money. David Gowdy says that one of the primary benefits of the program is the advanced training that U.S. companies provide.
America still has some of the greatest professional opportunities. So one of the things I think that it's typical is for some of these H-1Bs to come over and work at cutting-edge work and then go elsewhere to take the knowledge they've gained and put it to use. And that may not even be home. They may be going to the European Union or to China or someplace and using mm-hmm. that knowledge.
Yet David Gowdy insists that despite its advantages, the H-1B program is in need of radical change.
I believe that America gains by having internationals come over and work. And I think other countries gain by having their people come over and work too. But the system we have in place lends itself to abuse. That's where I wish we could see some improvement, that the federal government actually regulates and enforces what's going on, because you know, whether it's great for American workers or not, I don't know. You know, you can argue both ways. But it bothers me when I see someone who's put a lot of work into their education that's a foreign national being paid really less than they should be simply because they are a foreigner.
For WTUL, I'm Greg Gommen with Jordan Bodson.